Welcome to the Indian Music Charts Podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze trends in the Indian music industry. If you've been listening to us for a while now, you already know why this episode was long overdue. If you're new to us, you've tuned in just at the right time as we discuss the person behind some of the biggest hits on the charts this year. He has put Bollywood music on the map, and more recently, a big Bollywood smash too. This week, we're discussing why Anirudh Ravichandran is the biggest Tamil film composer of today. We also have a special guest joining us to take us deeper into the world of Bollywood music. But first, let's look at the key movements in the chart published on the 3rd of November 2023.
This week's biggest climber is moving up from 119 to 68. It's Long Time No See by Taimur Beg. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Rafi Anwar and Aur. This is actually a 3-month-old track, and possibly we're seeing a waterfall effect from Aur's trajectory. Aur, we actually discussed quite at length when their track Tu Hai Kahan started breaking into the charts. And in fact, there's a whole episode dedicated to it about cross-border collaborations. And in fact, that same track, Tu Hai Kahan, has one of the biggest movements this week. It's at number one, and it's at this position for the first time in its history. It has also displaced Jawan, so that's a big, big move. At number 44 is the highest new entry called I Am Scared from Leo. I will continue to say this. I said it last episode also. I love all the titles of the album. Ordinary Person from Leo seeing a new peak. It's all the way up to number 5, and it was at number 18 last week. Badass and Na Ready are also on the top 10, but however, they've fallen. Badass is at number 6, Na Ready is at number 8. Both are from Leo, both of them peaked at number 4.
This makes Leo the first Tamil movie to have 3 tracks in the top 10 simultaneously. In fact, Anirudh has had a pretty big year, as he mentioned, and he has, had not one, but 2 number ones just last week. As Akhila mentioned, Jawan, breakout song, Chalea was number 1. And prior to that he had Hukum from Jailer that hit top spot. He's also had 6 top 10 hits this year. 2 from Jailer, 1 from Jawan, and 3 from Leo, all of which are currently in the top 10. And this, I think, actually he's got a total of 4 songs simultaneously in this week's top 10. And I think only Pritam has had any sort of, like, you know, that kind of dominance in the top tier of the chart. You know, the fact is that Anirudh is one of the biggest composers in the country overall, not just, you know, in the Tamil music industry. And if you look at Spotify's top artist chart that they publish every week also, Anirudh is basically, he and, you know, Arijit Singh is always number 1, but Anirudh and Pritam pretty much switch positions between number 2 and 3. The others in the top 5 are A.R. Rahman, Vishal Shekhar, and Sachin Jigar. And the last 2 of those, of course, are very much, primarily work in Bollywood. So to discuss the cult of Anirudh, we have a very special guest and a personal close friend of mine, Lalita Suhasini, who is a veteran music journalist. She has worked for Bureau Children for publications such as Indian Express, Midday, and Rolling Stone, where she was the editor for many years. She currently teaches journalism at Flame University in Pune. And I'm sure it must be a super fun class, because I know that she plays a lot of music during her lectures. And,
where,
you know,
were all these teachers when I was studying, dude?
Yeah, right. And I know that introduction hardly does justice to the illustrious career that Lalita had. But, you know, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Lalita.
Thank you, Amit. And thank you, Akhila, for having me and for the very generous introduction and for making me laugh. I'm happy to be here. And
yeah,
happy,
so
to
happy
talk
to
about
you.
Yes, happy to talk about Tamil music, which is very close to my heart, considering I grew up in Chennai.
Yeah, and since it's Leo's success that kicked off this conversation, let's start there. Tell us what you think made Leo such a big hit, and to some extent Jailer too, and how they stand out among all the other Tamil OSTs that were released this year. I also forgot to mention that you write a column for Film Companion where you sort of review the new releases, film releases across various languages, right?
Right. So I think Leo, for me personally, is a surprise because Anirudh has completely broken away from his usual sort of straightforward dance music and driven by, you know, the signature percussion sounds that he brings into film soundtracks.
He's, I always get the pronunciation right. Kut. What is it?
Yes, it's Terukut, actually, which is street dance. So he's got, you've heard the soundtrack, obviously, and he's got Siddharth Basroor in Bloody Sweet, and I've never heard Siddharth sound like that. It could have almost been an indie track except for the production. So I'm actually surprised at how well the soundtrack is doing. Not Ready, of course, falls into Anirudh's typical dance anthem kind of song. That's sort of an easy hit to spot. But Anbenum and Bloody Sweet are very, very different from what Anirudh has done in the past. So in that sense, I'm extremely surprised by what Leo's doing for audiences across the country.
And is it that when you say it stands out from his stuff, does it also stand out from like the general Tamil sound? Because that percussive sound that you mentioned, that's pretty much across the board from a lot of the breakout tracks that we've seen, like that kind of crossover to a non-Tamil speaking audience, for
and
instance.
A lot of them have been Anirudh tracks also.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
A lot of them have been Anirudh tracks, yeah.
Exactly, Akhila. In fact, my favorite Anirudh soundtrack would be Master. So Anirudh, like Akhila said, has made that sound his own. You know, it opens with like a dialogue of sorts, with, you know, said by either the hero or Anirudh himself, and some whistle sounds, and then there's this tapankutta, Terukutta percussion music, right? So this is his signature opening line, and Anirudh has done that right from Mari to all of the Vijay soundtracks, Master most recently, Beast as well. So we've seen that music crossover as well. Jawan isn't the first time that an Anirudh track has captured, you know, Hindi speaking audiences. We've had that Arabic Kut, which is another Vijay song, which I mean, everyone
was
making
him, right? That was also Anirudh.
That was Anirudh, which everyone was making reels to, whether they understood half of the song or not, right? So, so yeah.
What about Rowdy Baby? What was that? Was that?
I think that was Yuvan Shankar Raja's
one. Mari 2 was Yuvan, no?
Yes.
Mari 1.
Yeah,
so Rowdy
Mari
Baby,
too.
Rowdy
yeah.
Baby is by Yuvan, you know.
Yeah, and that was a huge breakout song. Also.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mari, the first Mari was Anirudh's. Mari 2 was Yuvan's, and which had Rowdy Baby,
yeah.
Which Dhanush sang, of course, and anyone could have easily mistaken it for another Anirudh song. But yeah,
they've also had their like popularity and careers kind of intertwined, you know, Dhanush and Anirudh. Like, I think if I'm not wrong, and I feel that this is when like my non-Tamil speaking colleagues discovered Anirudh, was what was that track?
Why this collaboration?
Yes, that's the one. I feel like that's when the Hindi speaking world discovered him. Do you think that's about right?
Yeah, because also Sony Music put in a lot of money to promote that song. And at that point, I think we were all wondering whether it's a genuine hit or is it sort of like a manufactured hit? And
Don't ask Rahul Ramu to put that song, by the way.
Hey, I think it was not manufactured. I think it just stood out so much from everything out there in the world. Like,
but there was so much hype around it. You know, it was Rajinikanth's daughter's directorial. It was Anirudh's debut. Dhanush had sung the song, right? So there was so much hype around it. It was sort of teased on Twitter when it was Twitter back then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great song.
Good times.
It's a great song.
And sort of going back to sort of this particular soundtrack, I mean, when you say that it's very unusual for him. Why do you think it's actually taken off so much?
I think it's largely got to do with the plot of the film, right? A Vijay film, in any case, everyone's crazy about Vijay, not just in Tamil Nadu, but also Kerala. I think the film did very well in Kerala as well. And so there are plots and subplots. And I haven't watched the film, but having read the plot, it's just mind-boggling. So I think it's got to do with Vijay being in it and it being linked to the fact that there is a subplot. There could be a sequel, right? I think all of that adds to it. I wouldn't say that this is Anirudh's masterpiece or best work or any of that. I think it's Vijay Mania.
It's that's a halo driving. Effect of the movie's performance in a very big way,
completely,
right?
Completely.
I like badass.
I think it's different. Definitely, I agree with you on that, Lalita. And like, you know, the other thing that, you know, I kept thinking about, and like, I've always been drawn to Anirudh's music because I think it leans a little heavier, you know, even though there is that Kutu element, there are heavier elements. And like, it's something I brought up on a couple of previous episodes also.
Right.
That he sounds like he listens to metal. And I like that about him, you know.
Right.
But, you know, coming to like signature sounds, right? And like, of course, every composer tends to have some signature sound. But I feel that it's like with Tamil music, it's a little bit more pronounced, you know, in the sense that when you think Ilaiyaraja, you always think melody. You know, when you think A.R. Rahman, actually the 90s Rahman sound is what will come to your mind. You think about a very fresh pop kind of sound, right? Do you think Anirudh has a distinct sound in that sense? And how do you kind of describe it?
So I think he appeals to the street in that sense that the man on the street, the common man. A lot of college kids, a lot of regular people who are not the kind who go to a club and listen to music, and it could be those as well. He appeals to a wide range of people, and that is driven by the street sound, as in you want to hear that masala, you want to hear it's like very mainstream. These are sounds that I grew up listening to, right? You'd hear it at a funeral, you'd hear it at any sort of street dance performance. So it's something that immediately resonates with everyone. Anyone who's spent any time in Tamil Nadu, and the rhythm, sort of the inherent rhythm in that, in his songs, makes you want to dance, right? They're crafted for dance. So
he's actually done a great job of taking these, which were natively very Tamil sounding, you know, music, right? And like, I've really seen it crossover into an audience, like, and when I say crossover, okay, I'm even talking about not Hindi speaking audience, even within like the South, right? Like, Kannada music is very, very different, and the Kannada language is very different. And like, I've seen my friends who are Kannada speakers who don't listen to even any Southern music. They don't listen to Kannada music itself because, again, not a big film industry. Like, they know the lyrics to Anirudh songs, you know? And like, I think he really latched on to a part of culture that was kind of already designed to cross over. I think it just didn't get those platforms. And the fact that it got attached to these mass Tamil movies, which are now again being consumed by audiences, whether it's dubbed or even with subtitles, it's really, really sort of like taken the potential of this music beyond the region of Tamil Nadu. And that's why we're actually seeing it on the charts also, because I truly don't believe everyone who's streaming it right now, they're only Tamil speakers, you know.
He's also been very clever in that he's been constantly collaborating and bringing in sounds from say Bollywood, like Yo Yo Honey Singh or Badshah. One of his earliest soundtracks for Edir Nichal, he had Yo Yo Honey sing the title track. At that point, this was 2012, 2013. at that point, I don't think anyone else in the South, any other composer, was bringing Yo-Yo Honey Singh into... So he and Badshah as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
2015, he had Badshah on one of his soundtracks. So...
Interestingly, 2015, I think that's the time both Badshah and Anirudh were signed to Sony together.
So maybe that's how the collaboration came in as well. Maybe Badshah wanted to spread his wings and Anirudh felt that, you know, there couldn't be a better way to do this. Hardcore was also part of one of Anirudh's soundtracks. Yeah.
Oh, this I did not know.
Yeah. So,
he's been doing the whole North-South collab way before anybody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, others have...
I didn't know it's been for so long, by the way. Like, evidently, it's all bearing fruit now. These things take time, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was as early as, like, 2012.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that is common to all these hits that he's had this year is, whether it's J-Lo or Leo or Jawan, they're all action films. So, is that something of a speciality? Like, you know...
Some people like action movies. That's the other thing.
Yeah, I think it's also to do with what kind of films these actors sign on. I don't think, like, he signed on straight up, you know, romantic films like Doctor and all of those things. So I don't think he's like an action specialist or anything. In fact, I think he's coming into his own with Jawan and... J-Law and getting into that action space in a big way, because you can't get bigger than Rajinikanth and Shah Rukh Khan when it comes to this sort of film. So he's slowly sort of understanding the kind of sound that a Rajinikanth action film needs and a Shah Rukh Khan action film needs. I wouldn't have imagined he had the chops. So similarly with Leo as well, I feel he's now ready to make the leap into something bigger. You know, like, I feel like he's now ready to work with an orchestra. He's now ready to bring in a string section and, like, you know, hold it together. Before this, I didn't think he had it in him to do these sort of things. I mean,
this really has been his year, right? I mean, it has been, like, I mean, these are the biggest box office hits of the year overall. Yeah. Definitely, like, and he's had all of them. I mean, Pritham's had a few hits, but none, I think, have been, in terms of box office success, as huge.
Yeah.
So consecutively and at the same time, four tracks, you said, right, are all belonging to him currently on the top 10.
In the top 10. Yeah, I think Pritham has had more. But, you know, just in terms of the fact that these...
That was,
I think,
also the golden era of Bollywood that you're...
No, I'm talking about, like, earlier this year. Like, you know, there was a point when Kesariya was still there. There was songs from Tu Jhooti Main Makkar.
But more than four tracks at the same time?
Possibly, because, you know, he's had songs that have stuck around for a bit.
Okay.
I mean, I can't say. He's definitely had at least four. I don't know if he's had more than four. So, yeah, he's basically the only one. But, you know, coming back to what we were discussing earlier, where do you see Anirudh fitting, Lalitha, in the overall sort of pantheon of South Indian film composers? I mean, we discussed
Tamil
Yara, we discussed
composers. I think you need to start there.
But, like, even if we were talking about, like, somebody like, because I'm also looking at it from the point of view of, you know, crossover and, you know, the ability to sort of appeal to like a larger audience. You take somebody like DSP, right, who had a huge hit with Pushpa, and, you know, those songs crossed over as well. So, where do you think he fits into that whole, you know, thing? I think you feel he's kind of new, right? He's still very much on the up. Not so much, like, you can't call him legendary composer Anirudh
yet.
No.
I wouldn't call Devi Sri Prasad legendary either as yet, in the sense, if we are looking at, you know, overall the Indian film industry. I mean, he had... Ringa Ringa that became, you know, Dinka Chika, which was a huge hit for Salman. CT Mar, again, DSP's song. I think he's doing that new Salman film, Mere Bhai, Mere Ja. What is that? I forget the name of the film.
Kiska Bhai, Kiska Jaan.
Yeah. Kisi Ka Bhai, Kisi Ka Jaan.
Yeah.
So I think he has one song on that. But besides, except for Pushpa, which, you know, on the whole, the entire soundtrack sort of had like this pan-India appeal. I don't see DSP having made that the kind of impact that Anirudh has. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think Anirudh is bigger, and mm-hmm. I feel that he is one of the most important composers in the country right now. So in the Tamil film industry, you have Yuvan Shankar Raja and G.V. Prakash, who are the only two who can sort of come close to bagging the kind of projects that he does. But otherwise, I mean, comparisons to Rahman and Ilayaraja, I think everyone will be thinking of that, but I think he's far from that. Ilayaraja, anyway, everyone is too far from. He is truly a genius who is in a league of his own, and I don't think anyone is ever going to come close to him. And that's not just some fangirl sort of stuff, but the body of work that he has, as well as the kind of music that he does, I think that's going to be hard to touch. And Rahman as well, it's going to take a while. Like, for instance, there was a song that Anirudh composed called Udungada Sangu. I think it was from Velai La Pattadikari. So that song, if you look at the opening, if you hear the opening bars, it sounds familiar because Ilayaraja has done something similar with one of his instrumental albums. It's called Do Nothing. The track is called Do Nothing. But then that's just for a flash, right? But you know Anirudh has the potential. He'll get there someday. But I don't think that's anytime too soon.
He's been in the industry how long now? 10 years? No, 10.
10 years. A little over 10. Definitely.
A little over 10,
2011 was his debut. No,
in that context, you're definitely right, because we're talking about people who've had 30, 40 years on.
But being 33, I think he's still sort of covered like huge strides. And I also
think... He's 23. I thought he's like 26 or something.
Yeah. See, but I feel that's also to do with the fact that he's Lata Rajinikanth's nephew, right? He's Lata Rajinikanth's brother's son. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting that edge over others was far easier for him than it will be for, say, I mean, G.V. Prakash again is related to Rahman, so it's all sort of everyone's related to everyone. But for someone
typical entertainment industry.
Yeah, but for someone else,
hey, this is a nepotism episode. I've got friends to come on this thing. So
actually, correct. We ourselves are doing nepotism.
And I think that, that doesn't mean, like, obviously, you know, we would have got, we couldn't think of anybody better to have for this episode. So obviously, you know, I think that there is that definite, even when we talk about the Bollywood or like Hollywood context, I mean, while there is an edge, success is not guaranteed unless you have talent, right? And I think he's proven, whether it's talent or just the ability to sort of, like you said, connect to the street, you know, whether that's making music that sometimes might be slightly predictable, you know, you as a critic, one can discount that, but as like, you know, in terms of just audience appeal, that itself is something that you can't
discount. No, but, you know, that's actually what is really great about the charts, you know, like it doesn't matter who knows who or who's related to who. Ultimately, when it comes on to platforms, right, the audience is the one that decides whether they care enough to listen to a track or they do not want to listen to it at all. And like, we've seen a lot of unlikely hits in that sense, like, you know, artists coming out of nowhere charting, you know, just because they either tapped into a moment or like, you know, there was concerted efforts over a long period of time building them, right? And I kind of want to zoom out at this point and, like, you know, ask you later about just in general, right? We've spoken about crossover with the particular example of Anirudh. Mm-hmm. But the Tamil music industry has always had this sort of edge, I would say. And as far as I can even remember, I remember in the 90s, all of the tracks that people gravitated towards for Rahman, he obviously composed it first in Tamil because that's right. his you know, spoken language, right? And there's been a history of Tamil composers who've actually been able to go beyond their region, and they've been very innovative with their sounds also. It's one of the reasons I would say they've actually broken out the way they did, because the sounds that were coming out of this market was different from what was in the mainland. And it seems to me, at least, something very peculiar to Tamil music. Is that the case? Like, I've not really seen, let's say, Bengali music having that same kind of trajectory, even though there's a lot of great talent, there's amazing, you know, musicality in that culture. But at least on the film side, there seems to be some sort of a natural, you know, migration, I would say, from Tamil to Hindi.
Yeah, that's definitely happening now. Although you did, I was going to mention Bengali. In the 70s and 80s, you did have a lot of Bengali music crossing over, being remade into Hindi film songs, right? S.D. Burman would compose stuff that was remade in Hindi, or Bappi Lahiri would just, or even R.D. for that matter, would take a song that was already a big hit in Bangla. So that happened a long time ago, and maybe that's a cycle that will come back at some point. But
yeah. Is Pritam not getting inspiration from Bengali music?
I think he's also taken a couple of songs, Bangladeshi as well, and you know, yeah, definitely. But in recent times, I haven't heard any song of his that's inspired by any other Bengali song. So yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned that this is sort of cyclical. Like, I mean, I think now that you mention it, I do remember that there have been songs which were originally Bengali that then became Hindi. It didn't strike me as immediately.
Like Chukar Mere Man Ko, for instance, that's from a Bengali song. Yeah.
Oh, I see. But are there any, like, I think, cultural or, you know, social conditions that lead to these languages sort of becoming the peak of the cycle? Like, there must have been a reason why it was happening from Bengali to Hindi, and now it's happening from Tamil to Hindi. Tomorrow it could be another language. Is there something common between how these languages are kind of popping from time to time?
I think it's to do with who's composing them, right? So again, with an SD, because he was working in the Hindi film industry as well as in the Bengali film industry, he felt that that would fit in really well here.
And the same with the Tamil stuff, right? With Rehman, for instance. He was working with Mani Ratnam, who was crossing over into Bollywood. It's similar. And I think even today, because you're seeing so many
native
South
language, essentially.
Yeah, and you're seeing so many remakes of South Indian films, right? And as somebody said, like, Jawan is a Tamil Hindi film. You know, it's really that, except for Shah Rukh Khan and some of the acting group.
I finally saw Jawan. It's like they took 5 Tamil movies and they put it in a mixer. And they were like, take it.
Yeah.
And so the only sort of non-Tamil thing in that is like the actors, some of the actors, even not even all.
The actor. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I mean, that's basically the source of who's making it, right? It's the reason why Punjabi dominates so much of Hindi film music, because the filmmakers themselves are, you know, of that background. So I think that that's just more than a cyclical thing. I think it's more a who's making
dominating
the music.
And what is their native language.
And what is their native language, which is a great thing, because, I mean, it just, again, in a way, talks about how syncretic the Indian film industry is and how syncretic Bollywood has always been, right? You always have had various influences come in and, you know, in different ways. And I think with the Tamil crossover, it's just like, you know, the flip side of looking at that is that it's one of the one industry that co-opts the most and borrows the most. So you're seeing this, you know, all these movies being remade because they don't have any original ideas between, you know, themselves. So they're borrowing all these ideas. And then obviously the script and the whole milieu lends itself to a certain sound, which will then automatically be the, you know, the original sound of what the original was. And that kind of translates into that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you were to, what are your predictions for like the rest of Anirudh's career? Do you think that he's going to be taking more experiments? I mean, making more experimental work after this, Lalitha?
I definitely think so. Considering how well Leo's been received, So, and Anirudh also admitted that he loves jazz in one of his interviews. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether we're going
to
be...
I would love to hear an Anirudh musical jazz edit.
Yeah. So I definitely think he's going to make more of these, again, big ticket films and experiment as much as he wants. So yeah, the Badshah song, by the way, was a film that starred Ajit, who's again like a huge superstar. So I think he's going
to OG.
Yeah, Vedalam was the name of the film. But yeah, so
how did it do well? I mean, like, I actually didn't know about this track, but how did it do?
It sounds great. I can't sort of, I don't have the inside info of how it charted, I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it did well in the sense that it again has the sound that he's known for. And I think he is going to sort of continue definitely working on more Vijay films and Ajit films. And yeah, I think he's going to keep rolling.
Yeah, if he associates with these actors, then automatically you have like a very strong connection. If a music director is associated with a, you know, like back in the day, it used to be like these actor music playback singer combos.
Right.
And because Anirudh sings a lot of his stuff, I mean, it also like it's kind of sort of double, you know, another edge for him. So I guess that means he's just going to, you know, like you said, just going to see him in bigger and bigger movies and have bigger and bigger hits in the chart. But thanks so much for, you know, joining us today and for sharing all your insights and telling us stuff that, I mean, I definitely did not know and was learning about.
Even for me, like, I mean, I listened to a lot of Tamil music and I've also learned a lot. So, like, thank you so much, Lalitha.
Thank you for having me. And, I hope I made sense. Yeah, thank you for having me.
You made a lot of sense.
Really demystified the cult of Anirudh for us and our listeners.
Yay. All right.
So,
thank you so much. Yeah,
absolutely. And all right. All our listeners, we will see you next time.